very blessed by this one verse and what this the questions brought out, and by this character trait in this woman this week, as we looked at Proverbs 31, verse 25, and it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come." And again, as we have looked at each time, we see that this is inner qualities that are being built in her that become evident on the outside. She just wears this on the outside. These character qualities envelop her, and it can be seen by everybody who looks at her life. And we have seen all along, as we have broken down each verse, that there seems to be one trait that comes out of each verse that we look at. And in this one, I see dignity in this woman, as we see strength and honor as her clothing. Specifically, as you look at the word honor in her life, the word dignity means that she's worthy of being praised. She's worthy of receiving honor because of what's in her life. Nothing that's of her, in and of herself. It's all because of Jesus in her life. None of us outside of the Lord is worthy of praise, worthy of honor. The word even says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that we could do outside of the Lord is worthy of being thrown away. So as we see strength and honor being her clothing, it's because of what the Lord has done and is doing in her life. And we looked at strength quite a bit a few lessons ago, as she strengthened her arms, and then but again, the strength is a physical strength, but it's also an inner strength that she has. This honor is a respect because of her lifestyle. There's nothing that people could point at in her that would raise an eyebrow, or that people could call into question. When they look at her, they're not going to say, "Well, we know where you go, we know what you do, and that's not worthy of honor. That's not worthy of praise," because she is careful about what she says. She's careful about what she does. She's careful about how she behaves. And so she can, as the second part of this verse says, she can rejoice in time to come, because she knows that there's nothing in her life that is shameful. There's nothing that can be brought into question in her life. And as we've pointed out in the past, these are inner qualities. And so I want to look a little bit at, and we've seen verse by verse by verse, that Proverbs 31 talks a lot about clothing, what she's putting on, what she's wrapping herself in. And so this week in strength and honor, but I want to look a little more at inner clothing, things that we can be as women putting on that's going to make us a virtuous woman that nothing in our lives could be brought into question. What are some things that we can be putting on or in that is virtuous, that God would be pleased with? And the first one I want to look at is Job 29, verse 14. It says, "I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban." So we see here that we need to be putting on righteousness. And where do we find righteous? What righteousness is, what righteous behavior is? In the Word. We must be in the Word daily, because that's where we find qualities that God deems as righteous, as holy, as pure. And as we are putting that in, it's going to show up on the outside. It's going to be something that we're wrapped in. We're going to be wrapped in righteousness. If we look at Job again, chapter 40, verse 10, it says, I went to the wrong verse in my mind. That is not saying anything about what to put on. It says, did I say Job 40, verse 10? It says, then adorn yourself or put on majesty and splendor. Array yourself with glory and beauty. So again, clothing that's fit for a princess. And we know that we are daughters of the king. This is talking about majesty, talking about a king, but we are the king's daughters. So we should be arraying ourselves as a king's daughter, the king's daughter, and arraying ourselves in things that bring glory to his name. Our conversation, our speech, our again, the places we go, the people we hang out with. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about, you know, coarse jesting. What are we portraying in our lives? Is it majesty? Is it dignity? Is it honor? Is it praiseworthy? Does it bring glory to our Lord? Or is it going to bring shame to him? Are we arraying ourselves as a princess? Decking ourselves with majesty is what the King James says. Fit for the king's daughter. If we look at Psalm 132, verse 9. Again, it says, let your priest be clothed with righteousness. We already looked at that. Putting righteousness on those things that are that God calls praiseworthy. And verse 16 of that same psalm says, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout with joy. So we can be putting on the garments of salvation and also joy. You know, I've heard it said that if you're saved, let people see it on you. You know, there should be joy coming out of our lives because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we can be putting on the garments of salvation and wearing joy. Isaiah 61, verse 10. Says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So just like a bride would put on a beautiful gown and a veil and perhaps a beautiful necklace to look beautiful for her groom, we, as the bride of Christ, should be putting on the garments of salvation, the robes of righteousness, to look beautiful and bring glory to our bridegroom, Jesus, by putting on the garments of salvation, accepting what he's done for us. Greatly rejoicing in the Lord, being joyful in my God. But I want you to notice something here. Sometimes we think that we have to do this. Lord, I need to be putting on these robes of righteousness. I need to be putting on the garments of salvation. But look at what it says here. It says, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. For he, and these are capital H's here, it's talking about Jesus. He has clothed me with the robe of righteousness. So it's the work that he is performing in us. And he who has begun a work, a good work in us, who's begun it in us, is faithful to complete us. So We all know that just because we've accepted Jesus as Savior, we're not perfect and we're going to make mistakes and there's going to be things in our life that we're just going to go, ah. But He's the one who's clothing us this way. It's not something that we have to strive in. He's doing this for us. Something else we can be putting on, Romans 13:14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the lust of the flesh." So we can be putting on Jesus, and how do we put on Jesus? By spending time with Him, by accepting His work of salvation and His work of clothing us in righteousness and walking in those ways. And when we do spend time with Him and ask Him to change us and make us more into His image, there isn't going to be space for the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's when we're pushing Jesus out and we're doing our own thing that when we're putting on other garments, we're putting on the old man, we're putting on self, that we can fall prey to those lusts of the flesh and act in those ways. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 24. Says, "And put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." So again, we've talked about putting on righteousness. And here it adds holiness to that. But how do we do that? By putting on the new man. And we know that if we're in Jesus Christ, we're a new creation. That the old is gone and the new has come. And again, we need to be walking in that. We need to be walking according to what God has done in us, not in the old ways, but in what He has done for us. And here are some things that we should be putting away if we continue in there. Therefore, verse 25, put away lying. That's what the old man does. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. That's what the new man does. For we are members of one another. It says, be angry, but sin not. It's okay to be angry if it's what God would be angry with. And what does God get angry with? He gets angry at sin. And if you are angry with somebody, don't let the sun go down on your anger, because that only breeds bitterness. And verse 27 says, nor give place to the devil. If we harbor anger and we allow it to sit and it, you know, rumbles within us, guess what? The devil can get a foothold, and he knows right how to do that. And we talked earlier about how it seems like he is just seeking whom he can devour. So we don't want to give him a foothold. Let him who steal no longer. That's the old man. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to those in need. So what is the new man doing? He's giving. He's working. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That's the old man. But what is good for edification, that's the new man. What's going to build somebody up? It may be pointing out something in their life that doesn't belong. It may be encouraging somebody. We miss you. We don't see you at church. Where are you? You know, come back. But it's done in an encouraging way, not to tear down, but to build up. That's the new man. And why do we do that? That it may impart grace to the hearers. We want to be, hello. So we want to impart grace to those whose lives we're touching. And it says in verse 30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you're sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you. That's the old man. Instead, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's the new man. Those are things that we should be putting on. Tender mercies, kindness, forgiveness, even when it's hard. That's what we should be putting on. Because those are the robes of righteousness. That is the garments of salvation. Even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And 1 Peter. Oops, sorry. 5:5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Here we see respect. No matter how old we are, we respect our elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So another quality that we can be clothed with is humility. There's no place for pride in our lives because, as we spoke of earlier, our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing in our lives that is but garbage in and of ourselves. If we're going to boast, we're going to boast in God and in Christ and what He's done in our lives, because God resists anything that we have that's proud. But He's going to give grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, and here we go, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, put him off, put what he's trying to, you know, the thoughts he's putting in your head, perhaps the situations, the circumstances that are coming in, resist that. Resist the temptation to give in to that. But be steadfast in faith. Verse 10, that may the God of all grace, who has called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, because there are going to be things that are going to be tough in this life, but we know that the trials that we face do bring about patience. They do bring about hope, which was brought out in our study. But they're going to perfect us. They're going to establish us. They're going to strengthen us. And we see in this week's study that strength is part of her clothing. And how does that come? By some of the tough situations that come in our lives. And then we can be clothed by that strength that God is building in us. But again, it's by the work that God is doing in our lives. Like we saw earlier, that it was God who's putting on the garments of salvation, that it's Him who's clothing us with righteousness. It's His work that He's doing in us. So those are some things that we can be putting on the inside. That's going to be seen on the outside, that we're going to be wrapped in, just like our woman this week was clothed in strength and honor. And therefore, because of that, because of those inner qualities, she can rejoice in time to come. She can rejoice now and in a time to come. I wanted to look at just a few verses about rejoicing. Psalm 97. Verse 11 says, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. So again, as we put on the garments of salvation, as we put on righteousness, we'll have gladness in our heart, and it's going to spring forth. So we can be putting on for the upright in heart, those who are righteous, there's gladness in our lives. And verse 12 says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. We can rejoice in our Lord. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter how hard they are, no matter what tribulation or trials he's allowed in our lives, because we have to remember that he's allowed those to make us more like him. He's allowed them to strengthen us. Isaiah 65, starting in verse 13, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, and we're going to see some opposites here, as we saw in Ephesians, we saw some of the behaviors of the old man and of the new man. Here we're going to see some opposites. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat. So his servants, those who are working for him, those who are following after him, are going to eat. He's going to feed them. And there are verses that say that his people will never beg for bread. We're going to eat. But it says, but you shall be hungry. So those who are not serving the Lord are going to be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. So we see opposites here, those who are serving him and those who aren't serving him. Behold, my servants shall rejoice. If we're serving him, there's going to be rejoicing. But you, those who are not serving him, those who deny him, will be ashamed. And we talked about earlier about her character trait being dignity, being praiseworthy. Why can she be praised? Because there's nothing in her life to be ashamed of. But those who aren't serving him, those who deny him, you can see all over their lives that there's shame in their lives. Why don't they want to come to church? Pastor Fred said it this weekend, because they're ashamed a lot of times. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm doing. I can't step foot in a church. God isn't going to love me, but they don't understand the grace of Jesus. So there is no rejoicing in their lives. Verse 14, behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. Do you ever find that as you're, even in the hard times, that God puts a song in your heart? We're going to sing for joy in our hearts. But the opposite is, you, those who are denying him, those who aren't serving him, shall cry for sorrow of heart. And you can see the sorrow. You can walk into the supermarket and you can just see sadness. Cindy, I'm sure you see it with a probation officer. I can only imagine you must see physical sorrow. And it's because of what's going on in the heart, you know? And wail for grief of the spirit. Their spirits are just broken. But if we're in the Lord, if we're serving him, even if we're going through tribulation and trial, there's that peace beyond understanding. There is that joy that he brings to our life that we can't explain except that it comes from him. Because we're clothed in him. Because we're serving him. And so we are able to rejoice in time to come, even though there is something difficult, a difficult circumstance going on in our life. And we know the story in Matthew 25 of the sheep and the goats. And what does he say to those who are serving him? He says, enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. Those who are serving him wholeheartedly, who have put on the robes of righteousness. And even though you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, and you may not even realize what you're doing, because they say to him, Lord, when did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? Because it was just part of their character. It was just part of what he has put on them and fulfilling in them, and they're just acting out in their lives. They're just walking it out because it's part of the clothing that they wear. He says, well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And so if we're just walking out what he tells us to do, but how are we going to walk out what he tells us to do if we're not in his word? We have to be in his word. And then that joy is going to be there. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want to encourage you with this, and I believe that I have shared this verse with you before, but Acts chapter 20. Verse 24. This is Paul talking, and you know, he's talking about how you know, he's been through very many trials and tears, and he says in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." It's when we start being worried about this flesh and not worried about what the Lord is doing. But he's not going to count his life dear to himself, but he's going to finish my race with joy. The King James says, "Finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So, even though we may be going through difficult times, and Paul, I mean, you can look, he went through shipwrecks and beatings. He was scourged, you know, a few times, and he was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was bitten by a viper, you know. But he says, "I want to finish my course with joy." And so that can be the desire of our heart as well, no matter what is coming into our life. Lord, may I finish this course with joy. And we can look at it in little snippets, you know. What's in the next minute in my life? Lord, let me finish that course with joy. You know, what's in the next 10 minutes? Let me finish that course with joy. Sometimes we look at the big picture and it can be overwhelming. And that's when our joy, you know, the enemy can rob our joy, you know, when we start looking at our circumstances. But when we break it down into little snippets and you look at them just a step at a time, you can finish that course with joy. I remember, I probably shared this with you, I remember, you know, different times in homeschooling, it can be very challenging, very difficult. I remember going to a quilting group one day, and I was just worn out. I was overwhelmed. Rosemary Gallatin was there, and I remember just sobbing. It was the beginning of the school year. I was, you know, we had switched curriculums, and I had gone back to a curriculum that I had started with, and I was just completely overdone. And I remember getting there sobbing, and Rosemary just looked at me, and she was like, "What is going on?" And I was like, "Rosemary, I don't know what to do. I was so overwhelmed. There was no joy in my life at this point. There was no peace in my life." And she looked, she came over to me, and she grabbed me by the cheeks, and she looked at me, and she said, looking right in my eyes, she said, "Honey, just do the next thing." And I was looking at the big picture going, "Ah!" But she was like, "Just look at the next thing. And when I do that, I can finish that course with joy. When I just do the next thing, because I can't do more than the next thing that's on my plate, I can just do that." And so I just want to encourage you with that. Finish your course with joy. And in closing, as we look at this woman, again, as strength and honor are her clothing, she shall rejoice in time to come. I want to look at Titus chapter 2, because I believe it has some very good encouragement here, so that we can rejoice in time to come, so that strength and honor can be our clothing. Titus chapter 2 says, "You, however," and this is coming from the NIV, I apologize for that. I know normally we're looking at the New King James, but "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance." So here are some other qualities that can be putting on. Yes, this is talking to men, but you'll see in verse 3 that it says likewise. So just as the men are putting these on, likewise we should be putting these on as well as women. But we see respect here. Behavior that's worthy of respect. Being temperate, that's self-control. You know, you may want to rant and rave because of the situation you're in, but he says be temperate, be self-controlled, you know. I can tell you that there are times that I've been very upset and I've wanted to chase my children down, but there's always that voice in the back of my head going, don't do it. You'll be sorry, you know. And when I don't listen to that voice, guess what? I'm sorry, you know. I shouldn't have done that. I heard that voice. I, you know, often, you know, God always gives us a way of escape. So listen to that voice, you know. Act on that voice. Be temperate, worthy of respect. Be self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Endure, you know. We may feel like giving up, but endure. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live. Not slanderers. Ooh. You know, we may see something in people's lives that we don't like, and it's very easy as women to, blah, 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 did you see? Did you know? We don't want to do that. No slandering, no gossiping, no backbiting, or addicted to much wine. You know, careful. We talked at the very beginning of Proverbs, the very first study, as this godly mother was talking to her son who was in line to be king. Be careful of being drunk. You know why? Because it alters your mind. And so it's going to alter the decisions that you make. Alcohol is a mind-altering substance, so we need to be careful. But teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands. So what can we be putting on that's going to bring strength and honor that so that we can rejoice in time to come? We can love our husbands. Are our husbands going to be perfect? No. Are our husbands going to do things that perhaps at times are not worthy of respect? Absolutely. But guess what? It says love your husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says respect your husbands. And it's not saying when they deserve it. It's saying unconditionally. Just as Jesus Christ loves us unconditionally, he's calling us to love and respect our husbands unconditionally, whether they deserve it or not. And our children. Because guess what? Our children are going to make mistakes. They're going to do things that we're just going to want to rip our hair out. But we're to love them unconditionally. Verse 5, to be self-controlled. Again, we talked about that. Likewise, as the men, be self-controlled and pure. Ooh, pure. What is pure? Is pure watching some of the things on TV? Mm-mm. Is pure listening to some of the things that we allow on our radios or on our computers? Some of that stuff is not pure. We need to be careful of what we're putting in. What we're putting in our eyes, what we're putting in our ears, is it pure? Says teach the women to be busy at home. You know, we are the caretakers of our home. Nothing wrong with our men coming and helping us, but it tells the women to be the caretaker of the home. To be kind. Ooh, we'll see in the verses to come about our Proverbs 31 woman that the law of kindness is on our tongue, is on her tongue. Are we kind? As I do correct somebody, is it kind or is it cutting? Is it building them up, even if they've made a mistake, or is it tearing them down? How could you be so stupid? That's idiotic. Or, you know what? There is a better way to do that, you know? Or, wow, I realize that you're hurt because of that. You know, is it kind what's coming out of our mouths? And to be subject to your husband, we are, you know, we've talked about verses where we are to submit to our own husbands. God has put them as the head over our home because that is godly order. That's just the way it is.